Samela Yanulotumlinsi. Samela.
Welcome to iMother Podcast.
Samela Yanulotumlinsi. Samela.
My name is Silja Nikolina Runestadter Kvalheim, and I am your host. iMother Podcast is a fellowship for and by women to share wisdom, experiences, and resources around birth and motherhood, and about resurrecting the soul after times of darkness. iMother is a term that derived in Sapmi, about traditional midwives and medicine women. A woman who could look into the souls of birthing women and hold space for her. She was a guide into the unknown in both birth as well as death, a priestess of transformations of the soul. I am a mother, birth worker, and light worker, and my sole work on this planet is to help women in and after birth to be wild and true and own their bodies and their stories. By sharing our wisdom and our stories, I believe we create a world for our children where women are supported, empowered, and held. In the background, you're hearing Mari Boina, together with Madosini. Welcome to iMother. Dear listeners, welcome back to iMother. The last few episodes, we have been deep diving into the topic of wild children. And the past two episodes have been in Norwegian with two really awesome women from Sweden and Denmark. And today I am excited to introduce to you two super cool and wise maidens named Shannon and Ellie. These two ladies I was gifted to meet about 2 years ago at a yoga mountain lodge in Norway in the beginning of autumn, where I was to hold a forest therapy retreat with a fellow guide. We arrived and there weren't enough participants, so we stayed and enjoyed the food and scenery. We then met Ellie and Shannon and hit it off right away. They shared about their unschooling lives and it lit a spark in me I didn't know was there. I had at that time never heard of unschooling, and these two ladies seemed to represent a peak of glory from this tradition or way of life I was still to learn so much more about. I was truly amazed by them both. Honestly, I had never met any young folk with such wisdom, openness, and innate knowledge and connection within and without. Whatever they did seemed to work a hell of a lot more than what I could see with average teens. We shared some good laughs, a nice shit cold naked bath in the river, as you will hear more about in this episode. We're talking about unschooling, or wild learning, seen through the eyes of Shannon and Ellie. They are sharing their experiences with us, how a day could look like or not, and what self-motivated learning can look like, and true life wisdom for us newborn, new mom unschoolers like myself. Sitting like we were together, sharing ideas and reflections on each other, on learning and life, really is how learning should unfold. Cross-cultural, cross-aged, just openly and eagerly, freely. Just really beautiful. Thank you, Ellie and Shannon. And before I share their catchy bios, I want to give a tiny update on my life. We're now 4 weeks away from moving into our new land, our new home, and our new life. The next few years will be deepening into the animals and plants and creatures of this land that we are safeguarding. 2 years of home building has passed and some yet to come, but this is surely a huge milestone. We have both been deep in process and therapy at the same time as homeschooling and projects like this one on the side. I can truly say that building a house would be easy if it wasn't for all of these other things as well. Stepping over one's limits regularly through the course of 2 years give life perspective. It is amazing how much we can do as humans when our minds are set. I have always had a strong mind and been able to make my mind about things regardless of it feeling right or not. And sometimes that's a positive and sometimes it's not. And things can feel right for a long things cannot feel right for a long time, only to give a gigantic price at the end. So pushing oneself really means learning in new ways, becoming clear about one's own boundaries, and learning to relax in between. We started this not to build a house. We started this to build a new way of living. A home close to the earth in every way. A slower life. A more sustainable life. A life where children are an integrated part of life. And moms are nourished and light struck about how life can be done. How integrated momhood and children can be. Life. This is the last episode I will record in this house I'm sitting now. And with every recording and episode I make, I grow more and more proud of the legacy of hard work, heart, tales, and strong women that I can pass on to seekers, healers, and young folks. My daughter especially. Here is Shannon's bio. Shannon O'Rafferty, a home-educated woman who from an early age was steeped into a variety of cultures. She now spends her time seeking adventure, avidly crocheting, and finding the little gems that everyday life has to offer. Ellie. I'm Ellie Craig. I'm a 22-year-old human. My life passions are circus arts, shenanigans, and being happy. I'm a lifelong unschooler, and I'm constantly exploring ways to go about life in weird, fun ways. Currently, I attend a professional circus program on the East Coast of the United States. So, dear listeners, I give you this light, wise, and fun interview with two amazing young women. I hope you enjoy.
All right, ladies. Ellie, Shannon, welcome to iMother.
Thank you.
I'm
so happy to see you all both again.
You too.
Virtual hug.
Yes. And it was, what, like 3 years ago that we met at the Nissen?
What?
Something 2 or 3 years ago?
I think two.
Something like two, yeah.
But time has been flying.
It has.
Well, 2019.
That was a nice adventure.
I have it so fondly in my memory.
Yeah, it was just really vivid and alive. And I'm so grateful actually to have like met you both and like have my mind, you know, opened about unschooling, because I don't think I'd even heard about it before that I met you and we were sitting talking about it.
Wow. Yeah. I guess it's funny, unschooling is the term that I actually learned from Ellie, because in Ireland we call it like home education, which is like, I think to make it sound better really. but the... The difference is like what people usually get wrong is like homeschooling, which is school at home, but we called it home education. So it sounded more professional in a sense, but yeah, it's unschooling.
Do you want to just share, both of you guys, where you are in the world and what you're doing?
Yeah. So I am in Malmö. I have just moved back to Sweden from Ireland, and I'm currently on a job hunt. So, but in my free time, I'm crocheting, reading books, slacklining, and yeah, enjoying this beautiful city.
Thanks, Shannon. What about you, Ellie?
Well, I am in the state of Vermont in the United States. I am currently attending a 3-year circus school because I love circus, and I am in the process of creating a company with my two roommates. We're called Cirque L, and we are a trio of creators. And I am working in a food cooperative in the bulk section. So we do a lot of zero waste food supplying. That I'm learning a lot about local farmers and how it works here. And it is very cold and dreary, so I have been inside for a lot of the time, but it just started being sunny again. So I went on my first like nature walk with birds singing a few days ago, and it was very happy.
That sounds nice. Same like here. Spring just arrived yesterday.
Yes.
It's amazing.
So nice.
And Ellie actually came here. We were hanging out a few days here in my home. You were with your whole family. I met your whole family. I just love them. You have an amazing family.
I love Ellie's family too. Right? What?
My grandparents were at your house as well, right?
Yeah. So
they also, they went and traveled to Shannon's house without me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty great. The best parts of the family. No, I missed you.
Yeah. So, ladies, you are, both of you, right, have never been to school and just till recently, Ellie. But, or how is that, Shannon?
Well, I tried school twice for 1 month and then 3 months, but I think that was enough to realize that it was not for me. So I was lucky enough to have the choice to choose and dip in and out of it.
How old were you at that time?
I think for the first time I was in the US. I was 11, and I could only do it for 1 month. It was quite intense and like simple things like wearing a string top. I remember I was exercising, and I accidentally took off my sweater, and oh my god, I was wearing a t-shirt that wasn't like a full hand length down my sleeve. So just like all these small things, and like walking in lines and corridors, it felt very unplayful, uncreative, and I was only 11, so it felt very rigid. And then in Ireland I tried again. It was a lot better. I went to one of the few schools that was boys and girls together. Most of them are separate.
Oh, wow.
And you have to wear a uniform, but I still wouldn't put it down as a pleasant experience, like the actual school or teachers itself. So I never stayed.
Wow. That's intense. Yeah. I mean, it is quite rigid, isn't it?
Yes. And I know there are better schools out there, you know, democratic schools, Waldorf schools, but we just didn't have access to that where we were. So we just tried regular schools.
Hmm. And what about you, Ellie?
Yeah, I actually also tried high school in the US when I was 14, I think. And I had always wanted to try school because I always got questions of like, aren't you sad that you're not in school? And I was like, I don't know. I've never been there. I'm pretty happy, but maybe school is really awesome and I don't know it. So I did a bunch of research and I found the school that I wanted to go to. And it was this school that was connected to a normal high school, but it was promoted as an alternative school. And they were doing a bunch of programs to like give students more control over their education. So I thought that it would be a good place to try like the schooling experience, but also be able to like do it the way I wanted to do it. But when I got there, it wasn't that, it turns out. It was just a lot of people who were about my age who had spent their entire lives in the school system and were just pretty upset by it. So there was a lot of fighting and a lot of miscommunication and a lot of lack of motivation. So I decided that I would try it for a year to like really, really give it my best shot. And after about 6 months, I was very bored and very unhappy. So I went to the school panel and said, hello, I would like to teach a class instead of take a class, please. They allowed it. So then I taught a class for a little bit, but.
What class?
It was called Free Range Students. And it was a class about how to take control of your education and like how to use teamwork to achieve things that you couldn't do as individual projects. So we learned a bunch about different types of schools and it was actually pretty fun. We got in a conference room every morning and decided what we wanted to achieve. And we wanted to achieve a model in this school that students could succeed without a teacher. So we like every day we worked on different projects and contacted different places where students were doing similar things. And like we tried to establish like a sisterhood school with this other school in Colorado who they have facilitators, but not teachers. I liked it, but then eventually it was like, well, I don't really want to go to school to teach. Like, I still want to be a child for a little bit. So I stopped going there. And then it was very challenging, actually, to get back into being an unschooler. Like, I had to really detox after being in class all the time. So I did a bunch of research of unschoolers in the US, and I found friends that I could talk to who had similar education experience. And I finally got back on track with how doing what I wanted to be doing.
Mm. Wow. That's a nice story to have. Like, it just really gives like it's a very different world, isn't it? Like, It's a good word to use to detox, because that's what we do, isn't it? As parents as well, just needing to detox this whole life of shit experience in schools to be able to, you know, create an environment with, where you can just learn and be free.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of shame surrounding it as well, of like, oh, I'm not in school, I'm not doing the right thing. And there's a lot of like work that has to be done to take a step back and realize that you're still an important person if you're not following the school system, and you're still, what you're doing is okay.
I think that's also really enforced just by the outside world, that you are doing something wrong in a way. Like even just like going to the supermarket with your mom on a weekday, you know, and people will question you, you know, like, why aren't you at school? And it's funny, like, why aren't you asking my mom why she's not at work? We're just hanging out.
Yeah.
But it's always like, you know, the kid that's being attacked. I see all these adults shopping at work times, so why shouldn't I be able to be out at school times? Mm-hmm. But I don't think they thought the same, but they felt entitled to ask or make assumptions about my life as a kid, you know, and ask me questions like, what's 1 + 1? Which, you know, you're kind of like, I still live in your society. We still use the same methods of communication. I'm talking to you, you know, am I not? So they have this notion that somehow nothing will ever go into our brains if we don't enter the system.
Yeah, it's a scary way of thinking, and also very like devoured of history in a sense, you know, because it's not like schools existed for very long if you, you know, see our evolution as humans. So can you both just like, I mean, it's, I know it's a huge question, but like, can you just share a bit about your how was it to be a kid and not in school? You know, like what was it like for you? Do you want to go first, Shannon?
Okay. So it was, I mean, it was good and bad, just like everything else. I'm not going to say that it was like the perfect way, but I was so blessed that my parents, they wanted to home educate us so that we could travel. So we, you know, moved a lot through, like, so first we started off in Germany, and when I came of age where I had to go to school, we had to move to Sweden. And then we lived between Sweden and India in the winter, so we were like chasing the summer. And I remember really loving India because I had like a great social group of friends. At first when we arrived there, it was the actual Indian children that I would play with, and we were like some of the first white people they'd ever seen. And we used to run around chasing the chickens and doing laundry together. And then when I grew a bit older, it was more like a multicultural melting pot. And so my friends would be from all over the world and weird mixes like me. Like I remember one of my best friends, she was half German, half Indian. And so that was really great. That felt somewhat like home, while in other societies back in Sweden where you weren't in school, unless you were surrounded by alternative people that weren't in school either, you felt a little bit like an outsider. While then, when I became like 14, we had to move to Ireland because home education became illegal in Sweden. Mm. But there it was more normalized. Like people had heard of homeschooling and stuff. So it was definitely not as strange. And it being a smaller country, there was a bigger network of the home educated people, and they came together and did things. And that was really nice. And then that led on to me. I was so curious and so ready to get out into the world that at 17, me and I took my little brother with me. He was 16. We went to a college and where you like study like subjects, and you get sort of like the end of year certificate thing, but you're mostly doing practical work. So I did art and he did theater in this beautiful college, and I could see like we were excited to learn and we were dedicated to our classes every day because we'd know nothing else. This was like an agreement you're making now, so you are going to attend. Well, other people, it was like, oh, we're finally out of school. Now's the time for no commitment, you know? And a lot of them like dropped out. And so, yeah, I'd say, I mean, my upbringing was just like a roller coaster of different experiences, and I love it. I'm still living on this roller coaster. I feel more at home exploring the world than staying in one space or place.
Thank you, Shan, for sharing.
Yeah.
Callie, you want to go?
I really liked what Shannon said about a roller coaster of growing up, because I feel like that's also how it was for me. When I was really young, it was amazing. I loved every minute of it because it was just like I got to play in the woods and I got to hang out with my friends, and we had a lot of homeschooled friends, but there wasn't really a distinction because we would just like have play dates and hang out. And the only thing that was different is like, I would hang out with my school friends after school and I would hang out with my homeschool friends during the day. And then I would do whatever I wanted when I was not with them. And then I kind of got older, and I think societal pressure started becoming a thing that I was aware of. And so then the same things that Shannon was talking about of like people, there's like a set of questions that I would hear at least once a day of people who like were quote unquote concerned for my well-being, of like, do you have any friends? Do you know math? Can you write? And it was all things like, is this what you think of me? Is that I'm just like a person who, if unless you ask these questions, I will never do anything with my life? And so it's more just annoying that I would have to deal with these people and have to like answer math questions when I just wanted to go about my day. But all in all, it was fine. I had a sister, which was very nice, that I got to hang out with. And we would always do spelling bees for each other because we really, really loved writing words in notebooks. We would like quiz each other in spelling bees as a form of entertainment. And then when I got a bit older, like into my preteen years, I think I got more shameful of being unschooled. And it was the same like guilt or fear that I wasn't meeting expectations that were required of me. And I thought that I was really bad at math. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm failing. Like, I'm trying to represent all of unschoolers everywhere. And if I'm bad at math, everyone will think all unschoolers are stupid. So That was really stressful time because I felt like everything I was doing wasn't enough. And I felt like I had to make a change. So I started, I like talked to my mom and I said that I wanted to be more homeschooled instead of unschooled so that I would have more structure and I would do certain things every day. So she was like, well, if that's what you really want, we can give it a shot, but I just want you to stay true to yourself and like not do it because you feel like you have to. So she was supportive, but she kind of knew what was gonna happen, which happened where I started taking classes and became very rigid in my education and I hated it. It was, the only thing that was good is that I had consistency of like, oh, I get to see this person every Wednesday. But everything else, I was just miserable. Like reading textbooks is one of my least favorite things. And I was doing things that I wasn't interested in. So then I just started slacking off because like I would learn what I wanted to learn from it. And then I would just have to keep like pounding my head against the wall until I could memorize other things. And that's when I decided to go to school to try that out to see if it would be better because I would feel like, oh, well, this is a state regimented education. So I'll feel like I'm doing enough then because that's what everyone else is doing. And then I told you how that worked and not so well. And I still felt like I wasn't doing enough because I felt like just the school curriculum wasn't doing enough. And I wanted to actually be doing things that I was interested in and proud of to be learning and to be doing. So then I went back to my mom and I said, Mother, I would like to be unschooled again, but I don't know how because I have all this like fear and shame of not doing enough. So she was so incredible and gave me a bunch of resources. So for my like school detox, I did a bunch of reading from adult unschoolers who were very successful. And I went to a camp that's specifically dedicated to unschoolers, which growing up, I had only known one other family that was officially unschooled like me. So meeting a bunch of people who were my age, like grown up-ish and unschooling was so like emotional because I got to meet people who were like me who were also having all these fears as me, but also succeeding and doing cool things. So I'm like still in contact with people that I met there. And then I started relearning what I'm interested in and what brings me joy. So I was really into rocks. And my papa was an old science teacher, and he also really loves rocks. So I hung out with him for like a month. And I said, Papa, I would like to have a geology camp where we just go look at rocks and learn why the earth is like creates certain formations. So we went and he lives in Michigan and there's a bunch of old mining quarries that we like would scavenge down into and then we would find rocks and then we would discuss how the earth's magma would come up through the surface and why specific minerals are found where. And it was such a happy moment for me because I relearned that I can learn a bunch of things by following my happiness instead of following what other people say I need. Yeah, so then I just kept following that path, which brought me then to realize that my biggest passion is circus and exploring and having fun. So then I decided to take off to Norway, where I met all of you. And I think I still struggle with maintaining the truth of being an unschooler and having the bravery to know that it's all going to work out, and I just have to like stay motivated to do what I want to do. But it's a lot easier for me now that there's not a bunch of people like, do you know what 2 times 2 is? And I can actually just like be really happy about things and pursue things based off of that.
Thank you, Ellie. My goodness. It's so inspiring to listen to you both. And I just want to share that, like, when we met, it was just for me to like meeting the two of you was like meeting, you know, two young women that was like, I never met anyone in but that is in school with, because you were so like honest and energetic and like full of life. It just really reminded me of something that I sort of forgotten within myself, you know, going through school and like repressing all of this, being a human. And also one of the things that I noticed that I thought was so beautiful that you were both, I mean, that we can sit like in a circle like we did with people from all over the world with different ages and different backgrounds, and that you were able to connect with anyone. And that it sounds, you know, almost prejudiced to say that like kids are stupid and that they can't do that. Obviously they can, but they just don't when they're used to only being with kids their own age. And I see that with even my daughter, you know, that she just sits down with anyone, no matter her, no matter their age, and she wants to connect with anyone or anything. And I think that's really one of the biggest like values of being, you know, unschooled, that you're able to make like something out of whatever comes your way. And in a sense, that is what life is about, it, you know, to be able to just face what comes to you and greet it, you know?
Yeah, thank you. And I think it also, it really rings true, like when you say people of all ages, I never thought of it when I was growing up, you know, but then when I looked at my life, people were like telling me, like other home educated people were like, wow, look at our kids, you know, they have friends of all ages, like, and even now it's, I don't see age, you know, I just see sort of people that I interact with, and there's people that I like to interact with, and there's people that I don't like to interact with. And I find a surprising amount of age ranges in my friend group.
Yeah, so what I wanted to ask you then, guys, was like, because it's not like all of my listeners are like really into unschooling, so I thought maybe you would just like, can you just share a bit, like, you know, how do you learn out in the world, and how does a day look or a week look, or like, yeah, can you go into that a bit? Shannon, you look like you're glowing with that.
I mean, I'm glowing because as you're saying it, I'm like, yeah, how does one describe that? How, what does a normal day look like? Because it, I mean, that's the hardest question to answer. It kind of looks a bit like how you decide it's gonna look. Like when I was 8, but like Ellie was saying, you know, she asked for a course. Like when all the other kids had learned how to read and write, and I realized like, oh, actually, I want to learn that as well. So then I asked mom and dad, I was like, mom, dad, I want to learn how to read. And then we set up a program of like 20 minutes a day, reading and writing. And then because I'd asked for it, my brother kind of, he got thrown in the mix as well. But that's, and then I think mathematics was the only thing that we kind of had to do. And I remember I didn't enjoy it, but my brother, he kind of enjoyed it, and he, to the extent that in his later years, he actually got mathematics textbooks when he was in college and studied them severely so he could do engineering. And he would do them like all summer on his breaks. He was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. While I prefer doing more physical tasks and things. So although I enjoy reading and writing, I find it hard to not do something with my hands or my body, or to just do things with the mind is a tough one for me. Well, that worked. So what does a day look like? I will never know. they all look different, and you never know what to expect. It's kind of like being an adult, really. You just, oh, what's gonna happen next? Maybe there's a bit more structure as an adult, actually, if you have like a job or something, or you, yeah. I don't know how to answer that.
Thanks, Shannon. Ellie?
Yeah.
Wow, I am in the same boat as Shannon. I do not know what a daily plan looks like, but I think it's different from when I was a kid to now, but I still consider myself an unschooler now. So when I was a kid, yeah, it would look pretty similar to Shannon's day of wake up, my favorite thing was to just do things, like have a fun project to do. So I really loved applicable science. So I would always be concocting things and making oobleck and making volcanoes explode and all of these like dirty, grimy, cool things. So my mom would always get me these weird science books that had all these experiments. So whenever I was bored, I would just look in those books and get very excited about all of the fun pranks that I could pull using science. And then my sister and I were both extremely busy. We would have like theater classes in one city, and then we would go to a park day with a bunch of homeschoolers where we would all get together and nerd out and play games in this big park. And then we would go to we were really active in 4-H. So we would go to 4-H meetings, or we would work on projects for the 4-H. Both my sister and I were like presidents of the club because we had extra time. So we would be able to like plan the meetings and write the agendas and contact people during the day to get them to come into the meetings.
What is 4-H?
Oh, 4-H is it used to be an agricultural group, but now it's very all-encompassing group for youth who are interested in doing things. So there's a bunch of different sections, like communication arts section or fine arts section or still like agricultural, like raising animals or growing a farm or sewing clothes. So there's this big catalog of all of these projects that you can do, and then you for example there is a communication arts festival, and if you signed up for that festival, you would then get to work on your communication arts presentation. So you would make demonstrations where you would show someone how to make something, or you would do like a PowerPoint presentation. And the whole point was to work on your speaking skills, but you could get really in depth into what you were speaking about and make it a lot more engaging. Like, I remember someone did an entire like 15 to 20 minute presentation on one specific type of mushroom, and she like did a mushroom dance, and then she displayed a bunch of different mushroom types and then passed around some mushrooms, and I still remember it because it was so entertaining and so great, and I learned a lot about fungi. So that we worked on different 4-H projects a lot, and I was very active in government. So I was on the Health and Human Needs Committee and the Environment, Agriculture, and Natural Resources Committee for my county board, which like I think that might be an only United States thing, but we just got to convene with all of the city alders, and people would give presentations and we would rally to get them signed into, like to get certain things signed into law or get permits for people. That was really interesting because it was a way that I actually saw the government working, and I saw the interworkings of how I could make a difference or how certain things were blocked to make a difference, which really revved my engines. So I'm still very active in government. And then I was
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is this where the thing where you made a petition for those rumble strips that play music?
That was a different thing. That was another government thing. That was like mock government because I really love arguing. So,
okay.
Yeah, what Shannon is talking about is called Youth in Government. That was another program I was a part of that's through the YMCA. And we got to write mock legislation, but we had to research it like it was real legislation and then present it to this mock government that we elect through our peers. So I wrote one bill where I wanted all of the section before you get to a stop sign. You know how sometimes there's bumpy rumble strips that you ride over and then it's jolting in the car so that you wake up and you stop at the stop sign? Well, I wanted all of those to be scientifically engineered to, if you're going the correct speed limit over the rumble strips, it plays a song. So it's like speed control and entertaining. And I thought it was very clever, but it did not pass. Yeah.
And I guess another like big differences between the states, and at least like if you look at like single European countries, that there's so many like options in America. There's so many people doing things that are like that they're interested in and you can be a part of, and I mean, at least here is like very little to compare with. And so when you grew up, Shannon, did you have like a big network of other unschoolers that you were hanging out with?
Yes and no. I think when we were living in Sweden, it was quite the distance, you know? So if you were visiting someone, you were going for the weekend. So it wasn't like popping over to the neighbor. And we were, like you said, we were quite isolated. So the event, the things we did were very much ruled by what surrounded us. So like if it was like an activity like dance, you're like, okay, there's those three dances, I'll choose that. It wasn't like I came up with this thing and I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna find it, because it usually wouldn't be within reach. And even in Ireland it was a bit like that. So that's kind of how I ended up doing a lot of theater and stuff. Not necessarily that I thought I wanted to do theater, but it was surrounding me, and I realized, oh, this is fun. While like I wanted to do circus like Ellie, but that was my gateway to then slowly enter to circus. So a little bit different to Ellie, but I mean, it's not something that I worried about. Like you still find so much entertainment, like playing with dinosaurs. Whew, that was hours of entertainment. And we loved building like, you know, huts in the wood. And we built one hut that we were convinced we were gonna sleep in. And for years we were like, okay, you know, we have to, but the adults wouldn't let us do it by ourselves. So we were like, okay, but we're gonna find someone to sleep with us here. And sadly, that never happened, but the ambition was always there, and it was a beautiful, beautiful mossy hut.
Oh, that's magical. Yeah. When you're speaking, you know, it's as a mom, I have to really like deep dive into those like ideas of what is like a good enough life, really, because yeah. We're the only unschoolers. I mean, we have a few, like five or six families in like our county. So there is like some community, but by far like our week is, you know, our surroundings and the people close to us and grandpa and grandmas and, you know, dogs and forests and these kinds of things. And yeah, so I'm always like going these like rounds with myself, evaluating like, is this good enough for her? Is it like, yeah, because we, you know, I've been in a regular school system and, you know, contained by these structures and how things should be. So it's really freeing also to hear you guys is different, you know, experiences and how it doesn't, I mean, it's not like you go up to a grown-up, you know, who's lived a life being like, is this day good enough for you? Like, you ought to do like something different with, you know, what you want to do. I mean, it's the same, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think like a beautiful thing about having time is, because that's really something you don't realize what a blessing it is when you're a child, but that all this boredom, if you have any, can lead to such curiosity and creativity, and maybe not, you know, creative in the way that society wants to tell you is the right way to be creative, but you most certainly will find ways of sticking different pieces of paper together, and this can be your hours worth of entertainment. And really freeing when you're older and you don't need to have fun in a specific way, and you go around your life searching for the ways that you can create that self entertainment and how you can find little pieces of joy in your day or insert them.
I think that it's really important to remember that every day as adults, we're learning things, and we're not purposely going out to learn things. We're just interacting with the world and we're learning things because we're all, no matter what you do, you have to learn about them. And so kids do the exact same thing, if not more. They're so curious and so active, and playing in the woods to us would, to me, it just sounds like amazing, and I would love to do it every day. But you're learning so much as you're doing that, and you're diving deeper and deeper and deeper. And it might not be textbook learning. You could, if you want to, like, you can get a book and learn about tree types, but you could also learn like the intuition of nature and learn different interactions by just being there and existing in the woods. And it's such valuable education that isn't necessarily supported, because you can't like test it and see how smart you are. But I would argue it's more important to be able to exist in the world and just know how things work.
Go ahead.
Just adding to that, like, yeah, you are learning every day as an adult, and to even just today, like, I learned one fun fact, and the whole day I've been like telling everyone. I learned today that if you have your period and you are swimming, you won't get attacked by sharks. And this was an actual fear in India, you know, when I got my period, because I know that if you cut yourself underwater and you're near like dangerous sharks, not necessarily Irish sharks, but I was in India, so I was like, shit, you know, am I gonna get eaten by a shark because of a little bit of blood? But supposedly period blood is different and you won't get attacked by sharks.
Well, thanks for that information.
Yeah, that's a relief.
Yeah, I know.
Oh goodness. Yeah, I'm so happy to sit here with you ladies. It's just so true. And that's one of the things that I really enjoyed when we were together. Like, you're both so wise, and it's not like, I mean, every human being has an inner wisdom. But I do believe that, you know, a lot of the time you don't really find your inner wisdom when you're in this system before you're out of it, because then all of a sudden you have this freedom that you can find out what it is that you actually want. So just as a closing question, maybe, like, can you speak a bit about, like, you know, how this has like shaped your inner, like your deepest part of you, you know, like how you're going about in the world with an open heart and like, yeah, it's a bit of an unclear question maybe, but just jump on in.
Ellie, you can start this time.
Shannon, so nice. I just choked on my own spit.
You're welcome. <One second.
laughs> Ooh, well, this is what I'm thinking right now, is that I think I'm still learning how to be true to myself, and I'm still learning how to follow my desires and my whims. And just starting yesterday, I feel like I'm back on the right path, because I talked to Shannon and it relit this spark of like, I want to do crazy adventure things, and that's who I want to be, and I want to be confident in myself and my adventurous side. And even though I'm at a technical school right now, I still want to incorporate the wilderness inside of me and be able to expose it and be able to use my unique self to do unique things that I specifically want to do and that I think make a difference. And so now talking to you, I feel also just so much more re-energized. So I think what unschooling has taught me is how to identify who I want to be, but also has taught me that it's very important to reconnect with people who are similarly wild and loving and spontaneous, and to just coexist with people in the world.
Goodness, I'm just moved. Thank you, Ellie. And it just reminds me, when you're speaking about wilderness, it reminds me that we went on a forest therapy walk together.
Yeah.
Just remember your nose in the dirt and smelling, and it was lovely.
It was so nice. I want to do it every day.
Oh. Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you.
Shannon.
So the question was, what do I feel I have become?
Mm.
Sort of.
Mm.
And okay, I'll sort of interpret it as, oh God, okay. So what I feel my upbringing has brought to my journey is that sense of ability or conquering or finding every like loophole or way or stream or path towards what I feel that I want, which can be a small thing, but not letting the rigid way of how our society works or like the way you're told how to get into uni is you're told you have to go through school and get a leaving certificate, which me and my brother never did, but we found other loopholes, you know, to do things with things that we were first told we couldn't do. So it has taught me that no matter what structure anyone sets up for you, there is leeway, there is opportunity. And I for myself, I have found that I am very, just ever since I can remember, I feel like I was born with this. I was born with a fear. And the way that I was brought up let me see that this is a fear. And I live with it, it's still there, but I can move past it. I can still do things. It's not debilitating. Like moving to Sweden was so, so scary. And when I have like people interrogating me at the airport, and then when I arrive at another airport and on the train, and I can feel all these things, they're very scary, but I put trust sort of in the world, like, okay, this is absolutely terrifying for you, Shannon, but if you make it to the end, it's gonna dissolve, and it always works out fine. I don't know how to fully express it. I don't know if it makes sense, but I think that if I had been brought up in a schooling society where I had been taught that this fear is debilitating, or that I cannot conquer or move past this or this without this, and it has to be done along this path, that I could have ended up being a person that would would be quite fearful of life or the world, but luckily I was brought out and shown it, that it's not, it's actually a very nice place to be, the world.
Thank you, Shannon. Oh, I'm so happy to hear you guys. It just really reminds me why I've chosen what I've chosen for my daughter, yeah. And just makes me more sure, you know, that it's a good choice for her. So I'm very grateful that you're, you know, sharing your wisdom with the world and with me.
Well, I'm also grateful that she gets to learn from you. You're so cool.
Yeah, you're definitely gonna have a wild child.
Oh, and I feel so not wild at all. Like, I feel so blocked by my own, you know, childhood and shit. But anyway, I'm, like you're saying, Shannon, I'm working through it, and, you know, it's all ever changing. So we're not supposed to be perfect. And
I don't think anyone ever is.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter how you deal with that imperfection. And incorporate it instead of reject it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ellie and Shannon, for your inspiration, your wisdom, and wildness. I am truly grateful to know you both. This was our last episode in our Wild Children series. I hope you enjoyed it. Surely learning and human evolution can look very different. I find it truly important to remember how diverse human beings really are. There have been, until recently, so much diversity on this planet. So many different cultures, different tribes, languages, and different ways of life. This ridiculous bubble that we find ourselves in, where everything and everyone should follow the white man's way, are not diverse, and they're not sustainable. We've stolen land and called it our own. We've slaved and imprisoned. We've made those who lived in harmony with the land. We've called them savages. We've cut down forests and eliminated species. These are the pillars that this society that we praise are built upon. Know that. And so when we choose to step forward, we do so with respect, humility, and knowledge, because there are always many roads leading to one destination. And every soul has a story to tell in this world. What is your story, and who are you? This is really why we're here, isn't it? Next episode, we will get deep into an entirely different topic. We are getting into the deep and dark places of our wombs. Our wombs carries life, but they also are carriers of death. Our bodies are vessels of God in that sense, and that's a huge thing. There are many topics in regards to mothering that are spoken too little about, and one of these topics are losing a child. I have had listeners reach out to me about this because there are so few platforms for this healing to happen. Our society tells us, you lose a child, you move on. But we don't just move on from losing a child, do we? In this interview, you will meet two strong and brave women speaking openly about birth loss, pregnancy loss, and grief. How they found their healing, what gave comfort and support, and what did not. It is a brutal, beautiful, and honest interview with Vila and Sandra, recorded live in Nesodden. This episode will be out on the 9th of April, 2020. For upcoming events and info, go to my website at www.imother.com. You can also find me on Facebook and on Instagram. To support the podcast with a small monthly contribution, you can go to Patreon at iMother. With deep gratitude to my listeners and supporters, I wish you a nourishing spring with much love.